Welcome, friends, to a moment of spiritual reflection and profound gratitude. On this March 3rd, 2024, we are blessed to have guest speaker Patty Galloway with us to delve into the sermon, Amazing Grace, Our Gift from the Christ Within. Today, let us open our hearts to the transformative power of grace that resides within each of us, a divine gift that guides, heals, and enriches our lives. Join us as we explore this beautiful journey of discovery, embracing the endless grace bestowed upon us by the Christ within.
So just bring your awareness into this holy sanctuary. This here and now moment. And to bring yourself fully present, just begin to focus on the rhythm of your breathing. And close your eyes. And just become aware of the rise and fall of your body as you inhale and exhale. And with each breath, begin to notice that brief pause between your exhale and your inhale. That space of silence and stillness below the level of thought. And just let your mind rest there. In the silence. In the stillness. And just allow the silence to expand with each breath you take. The ancient sages tell us that in this sacred silence is where nirvana can be found. Your divine self. It is here that you can rest in the presence of your own divinity. And as you enter your sacred sanctuary, hear yourself silently repeating these words with me. In this blissful silence, I open the door and enter the castle of my soul. Here I am alone with God, the divine source of my being. As I enter the blessed interior that is my own divinity, I close the door and forbid all outside influences from entry into this holy place that is my soul. Here in my castle, I am filled with the light, love, and wisdom of the divine. As I discover the depth and beauty of my soul, I embrace the power of prayer and open myself to divine guidance. I pray that I may surrender myself to become a channel of grace for healing and for service. As I am directed by divine guidance, and as I open the door and go out into the world of humanity, I am filled with light and with grace to be a beacon of hope, love, and peace. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and come back into this place and this time, into this here and now moment, knowing that your prayer is answered and grace shall abide with you as a holy power made manifest in your life. And so it is. And so it is. So my topic is Amazing Grace. I had no idea Mo was going to sing that song for me. What a blessing. It was so beautiful. So beautiful. So I have always been curious because Amazing Grace is one of the most beautiful songs and one of the most popular songs that we sing at every kind of occasion. And so I wanted to know who wrote the song, when was it written, and why was it written? So here's the story. It may shock some of you. It shocked me. Somebody already knows. John Newton was a man that despicably sold other human beings in the slave trade. As he states in the hymn, he was a wretch, but God found him. He was saved by God's amazing grace, and it is that grace that sets us free when, at the prodding of the Holy Spirit, we freely accept grace for ourselves. It was December 1772 in Olney, England, at the age of 47, that John Newton began the writing of the hymn that would grow increasingly more popular throughout the years. In his song, Amazing Grace, Newton wrote about the amazing grace that saved him out of the wretchedness and gave him his personal conversion. There's something about this hymn that remains relatable to all of us. I know when I first sang Amazing Grace at Unity, we sang it replacing wretch with soul because we don't like to think of ourselves as wretches. So that saved a soul like me. And I thought, that's perfect. I can relate to that. So Newton discusses where he was when he found God, or rather when God found him. He was a wretch. He was lost. He was blind in sin. Following in his father's footsteps, Newton began his life's career by searching throughout the African coast for slaves to capture and eventually to sell for profit. On one journey, Newton and his crew encountered a storm. Thank you, Sarah. That swept some of his men overboard and left others with the likelihood of drowning. With both hands fastened onto the wheel of the boat, Newton cried out to God, saying, "Lord, have mercy on us." After 7 hours of steering, the remainder of the crew found safety and the calming of the storm. From then on, Newton dated March 21st as a day set aside for a time of humility, prayer, and praise. And Newton went on to become ordained as a minister of his own church, and his literary work against the slave trade encouraged abolitionist William Wilberforce to continue his fight against slavery in England. So, very interesting story about Amazing Grace and how it becomes part. That's it. Laugh with me. So grace is mentioned mostly in the New Testament, 121 times, and most of those times are mentioned in Paul's letters. Saul became Paul, and Paul was stricken blind with light, and he was a persecutor of Christians at the time. And I'm sure you all know the story. He regained his sight and became an apostle for Christ. So we ask ourselves, you know, what is grace? What does it look like when we receive grace? And how do I know I've ever had the experience of grace in my life? So Christian theology says this: grace is the basis of the Christian faith. The Christian definition of grace is the free and unmerited favor of God. Grace cannot be earned. It's something that is freely given. Then there's this definition. Grace is a quality of God, the divine source of benevolent influence, acting upon humanity to impart spiritual enrichment, to inspire virtue, or to give strength to endure trial and resist temptation. Sometimes also thought of as proceeding from Christ or the Holy Spirit. Now you all probably know that Caroline Mace is one of my teachers. My work mainly deals with healing of body, mind, and spirit. And Caroline Mace is a medical intuitive that has written so many beautiful books on healing. So I look to her as my teacher and have for a long time. And in her book, A Time for Grace, she says, one way to understand grace is that it is a mystical force, not an intellectual or physical power. Sometimes we don't realize when we experience grace. And I'm sure all of you have experienced grace as I have. Maybe didn't call it grace, maybe didn't recognize it as grace. But have you ever lost your keys or misplaced some money that you withdrew from the bank and couldn't find it and became frustrated and just out of sorts, and then all of a sudden a light bulb comes on and you know exactly where you put it, and you walk to it, and there it is. Now, I always say, oh, thank you, God. That's always my answer. Oh, thank you, God, because I know that of myself, in my frustration and stress, I could probably never have found it. But with the help of God or my angels, some of you say my angels were watching over me. That's another way of recognizing grace. However, grace is in our hearts, and it is a power, a holy power, that gives us options and choices. when we're in the middle of a crisis. It might be that still small voice that speaks to you and says, would you rather go another direction? Or would there be a better way of handling this? That's grace showing up in your life. And there are times, that's one way of grace serving you. The other way of grace serving us is, have you ever called a friend or a loved one just in a time of crisis when they're needing some support or someone to talk to, and all of a sudden you make that phone call without even knowing what they're going through? That's grace. That's grace showing up for you and grace showing up for the person receiving your phone call. So that's how we recognize grace. I want to tell you a story. This is a great story. It happened to me the other night. Sorry. I was coming back from Sarah's. It was dark. It was 7:30 at night. But I needed to get gas. So I stopped at a convenience store up the street from where she lives that I know is always well lit. It looks like a car dealership. It's lit up so brightly. And so I thought I'll be safe there. It was cold. I just wanted to get gas and get home. So I pulled in and I got gas. And as I was getting back in my car, I noticed two young gentlemen standing in front of the Kim's grocery store there. And they were, you know, bundling themselves up. You could tell they were cold and freezing. And somehow or another, I'm in my car. You know how cars have that dark film over them? They're up there by the store in the dark, and our eyes meet, and they start waving at me. And I'm going, wonder what they're doing. You know, it's late, and it's cold. So, and I would never have told my daughter to ever do this, but I drove my car up to him, and I rolled down my passenger side window, and I said, what are you guys doing? Are you selling something? And they go, oh, no, ma'am. We're collecting donations for our rescue mission. We rescue addicts and alcoholics and take them off the streets, and we're asking for donations. And I said, oh, my goodness, have you been out here all day? And they said, yes, we have. And I said, well, let me give you something. So I reached in my wallet and pulled out, I don't know, $6 or $7 and handed it to them. And they handed me this little card, which I was going to bring, that showed it was the name of their rescue mission and their phone number and everything. And then the young man took my hand as I was, he wanted to shake my hand. He put his hand inside the door. And when I reached for his hand, he had this ring in his hand, and he put it in my hand. And he said, I want you to have this. And I said, oh, I can't take your ring. And he said, no, I'm guided to give you this ring. I want you to have it. So he closed my fingers over the ring, and he began to pray. And he prayed for, you know, God to watch over us and bless me for, you know, giving to their, paying attention and giving to their cause and everything. And I didn't even realize he was praying until he said, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And I went, oh, he was saying a prayer for me, you know? And I just, out of my mouth, because I was working on my talk for today and grace was at the height of my mind, and I just said to him, may the grace of God be with you. And we parted, and I went, wow, that was really a showing of grace. And so when I got home, I was showing this to Sarah, and I said, I can't see it because the writing is so tiny. I said, what is there some writing on it? What does it say? And it's the Serenity Prayer. May God grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm not reading that because I can't read on this. But, you know, it had to be very special for him. It had to be something that reminded him of his mission in life, and he gave it to me. That's grace. That's grace. So, the other time I remember having a moment of grace was I was in the grocery store, and, you know, I'm short. There's a lot of things I can't reach when they put them up high on the shelf, and so I always look for a dark, handsome, tall man, and I go, can you reach that for me? But at this time, at this particular time, there was a family going down the aisle, and there was a young man. He probably was 11 or 12, but he was tall. You know, I could tell he was young, but he was tall. And I just touched him on the shoulder, and I said, would you mind reaching up there and getting that for me? And he said, oh, no, ma'am, not at all. And he reaches up there and grabs it and gives it to me. So then I continue to do my shopping, and I'm about two aisles over. And here comes this young man down the aisle, and he says, ma'am, is there anything else I can help you with? And I went, all of a sudden I felt very old. And I said, oh, no, honey, but I appreciate you checking. I appreciate you for being there. So those are moments of grace, when times when you don't even expect it, and it just shows up in your life, and it gives you just a glow in your heart. You know why? Because that's where your grace resides. Your grace is in the center of your heart, right there with divine guidance, with Christ consciousness. I mean, it sounds like it might get a little crowded in there, but they're all in harmony, and they're all working together for our highest good if we just remember that right there in our heart is always present the grace of God. And so let me get to my... I want to... I want to give a couple of examples because I'm a reader. I am inspired. My inspiration comes from what I read, from those people who have been there, done that, and are giving me guidance and direction for how they found faith or how they found Christ or how they found a healing for themselves. And in addition to Caroline Mace, I found... Now, I read The Seat of the Soul many years ago, and every now and then I'll pick it up and I'll, you know, there'll be something I'll be looking for, and I'll go, I think I read that in The Seat of the Soul. So I picked it up the other day, and I thought, I bet there's something in there about grace, knowing Gary Zukav. And sure enough, at the very back of the book, here's what he says. The dependency on prayer assists you in pulling yourself into and invoking grace. The power of prayer invokes grace. Grace, prayer is moving into a personal relationship with divine intelligence. It is impossible to have a prayer without power. When you pray, you draw to you and invoke grace. Grace is uncontaminated conscious light. It is divinity. Prayer brings grace, and grace calms you. That is the cycle. Grace, I love this, grace is the tranquilizer of the soul. He goes on to say, feel your intentions in your heart. Feel not what your mind tells you, but what your heart tells you. Rather than serve the fake gods in your mind, serve your heart. You will not find God in your intellect. Divine intelligence is in your heart. So now let's add divine intelligence. Now we have grace, divine guidance, divine intelligence, and Christ consciousness, all right here in our heart. So I ran all over Tyler to find Falling into Grace by Adi Ashanti, another one of my teachers, and I couldn't find one anywhere. So finally, I call Sherry, and I say, is there a book? Are you going to be at the bookstore today? No. Do you have the book, Falling into Grace, by Adi Ashanti? Yeah, I think I do. And I said, can I borrow it? And she said, okay, but you have to call Paul, because he'll have to find it for you. So I called Paul, and Paul found it for me. And so, sure enough, I mean, the whole book is Falling into Grace. How does Adi Ashanti write a whole book about falling into grace? But indeed, he did, and it's a beautiful book.
Very, very good book.
It is a great book. And he says, grace is all around us. We only need eyes to see. When we can begin to open enough to realize that there is grace in every situation, then our hearts will flower and we will be able to express the peace and the love that each of us has within us. If we can let go for even a moment in any situation, we can fall into grace, into the center of now, where we find the freedom that we are seeking. Prayer, grace, and guidance contain the holy authority to help us in ways we are incapable of imagining. Through invisible and quiet holy resources, grace and divine guidance flows continuously in our lives. And that has to bring us some peace of mind, knowing that grace is always there, it's always present, and it's always showing up, even when we don't recognize it. It is there, and it guides us. And the power of prayer, just by invoking grace, just by I am invoking the power of grace to be present in my life in this situation. Now, there's the other side of the coin, and the other side of the coin is, how often does grace appear in our lives and we ignore it? When we want to be right, when we want to win the argument, when we want the other person to suffer, or even when we want to suffer ourselves, we're denying grace. It's there. It's present. It's to be used. It's a power. It's a holy power. If you can just let go and let grace make that choice and that decision for you. So I'd like to go through an exercise with you. I don't know how much time I have, but I'm going to get this exercise in before the children come in. It's wonderful, and it's an opportunity, it's a tool, and I believe in tools. I'm a therapist. I have a whole toolbox full of tools for people to use when they leave my office, because they need something to remind them to remember what we've talked about and what choices they have in their life. So I'm going to walk you through this little exercise. It's connected to the heart-mind coherence. Now that we know we have grace, we have divine guidance, we have divine intelligence, and we have Christ consciousness all within our heart, working in harmony to get us through difficult times. So I'm going to give you a technique, something that you can use anytime you feel that sense of frustration or anger or unforgiveness or judgment about another person. You can bring yourself back to the here and now moment, into your heart, where grace lives, where divine guidance lives, and where you're always guided in the direction of the perfect answer, the perfect solution. So I'm going to talk about the heart first. In my world, there are three chambers to the heart. In the medical world, there are four. But for this teaching, we have three chambers. We have the lower chamber, we have the upper chamber, and we have the central chamber. The lower chamber of the heart is our physical heart. It's the heart that beats for us 24 hours a day, sending blood into our cells, sending oxygen and nutrients into our body, and then sending the carbon dioxide or monoxide, whatever it is, out through our exhale. So the heart is physically working for us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for our entire life. That's the lower chamber of the heart. In the upper chamber of the heart is where we carry our emotions. We carry our emotions of love for our loved ones, for those who love us and those that we love, for our pets, for our home, for our world, for our unity family. We carry that emotional love in the upper part of our heart. The upper part of our heart is also where we store our emotions of anger, resentment, frustration, judgment. Those are also carried in the upper chamber of the heart. We also have in the upper chamber of our heart all of our beliefs, what we believe about the world, what we believe about ourselves, what we believe about our story, and how that story affects us in our daily lives. Because we believe it. Here come the children. So in the center chamber of the heart is where grace lives. In the heart is Christ consciousness. The center of your heart is where your healing grace abides. Grace is our gift. It's our holy power. It's activated by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I forgot. The Holy Spirit is also in the heart. So now we have grace, divine guidance, divine intelligence, Christ consciousness, and the Holy Spirit, the voice of God. Carry that right there in the center part of our heart. In the heart, in the center of your heart is where your healing grace abides. Healing grace that is present always in every cell of your body. Grace is our gift. It's our holy power activated by the Holy Spirit within us and held in our heart of hearts that allows us to act, to heal in love, wisdom, and power. So in this heart-mind coherence, it's just a short exercise. But when you're in that coherence, and if you read about it, I have tons of information on from the Heart Math Institute. The heart has 100 times more electromagnetic energy than the brain does. So that means the heart can always, at any time, overpower our mind, our thoughts, our brain. And if we center our prayer in our heart and ask for guidance, ask for grace in any situation, it is available to us at any time, right there in the center of our heart. So I'd like for you to just, for a moment, just close your eyes and begin to breathe slowly, like inhaling to the count of five and exhaling to the count of seven. Any of those numbers, you can breathe into four, exhale to six. Just slow your breathing down so that you're aware of the inhale, the slow inhale and exhale. And then imagine that you are breathing into your heart. Imagine in your mind's eye that you are breathing love into your center of your heart. Love for those you love, love for those who love you, love for your pets, your home, all the things that remind you of love and that love is present in your life. And hold that love in your heart. Just hold that love there. And then expand that love so you can feel your heart expanding with love. And then sense that you can send gratitude and appreciation into your heart. While your heart is full of love, fill it with gratitude and appreciation for all things that you enjoy in your life, and even for those things that you are having difficulty with. Gratitude and appreciation for the lesson they are to give you. We never have an incident happen in our life that doesn't have a lesson in it. So gratitude and appreciation for every experience that draws you closer to your heart center and to your divine guidance, to the Holy Spirit and to your Christ consciousness. And with love, gratitude, and appreciation in your heart, know that in your heart is where your healing grace abides. Always present, always available, and always willing to become activated in your body, mind, and soul. And while you have your heart full of healing grace, divine guidance, divine intelligence, gratitude, appreciation, just place your hand over your heart or place your fingers on your chest in the middle in front of your heart. Either way, and hold that love, gratitude, and appreciation in your heart. And then repeat this prayer with me. Silently to yourself, I am now in the center of my heart, where love, gratitude, and appreciation abide. I can call on divine guidance to bring forth abundant grace in all that I say and do. I allow the flow of healing grace into my mind, my body, and my soul. I am filled with God's grace, and I am grateful. And so it is. Thank you.
Thank you, friends, for joining us in this exploration of Amazing Grace, our gift from the Christ within with Patty Galloway. As we part ways on this March 3rd, 2024, may the profound insights and the spirit of grace shared today continue to resonate within you, illuminating your path and enriching your soul. For further spiritual nourishment and to stay connected with our community, please visit our website at tylerunitycenter.org. We encourage you to engage with us by visiting our Facebook page and subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. And if you find yourself in the Tyler, Texas area, we warmly invite you to join us at 14024 Highway 155 South for more inspiring gatherings. Copyright 2024, Tyler Unity Center. All rights reserved. May the amazing grace within you be a guiding light in your life, leading you to peace, love, and fulfillment.